I'd like to welcome all of you to worship today. We thank the Lord for this day and for the privilege of getting together and worship. You might wonder why I'm up here. About 6 weeks ago, we had the worship committee meeting, and Julie told us she was going to be gone. So we said, why not let Larry play the organ, and I'll be the pastor today, except for the sermon. I told Larry, I'm not doing the sermon. He still has a sermon. So I'm going to be leading us in worship. Larry's going to play the organ, and we're just going to have fun. So, as far as the announcements go, there's no choir practice this week. At 5 o'clock on Wednesday, Joint Call Committee, Transition Council meeting, bells at 5:30, confirmation 6, and 7 o'clock, Ash Wednesday service at Congregational Church. And then there's a 10 o'clock that Thursday morning, there's a Bible study there. Other announcements that need to be made? Or any corrections of what I've said. Okay, we will begin then with the service for confession and forgiveness. Congregation, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let's confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In number 836, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
the Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy host and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Transfiguration of your Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the witness of Moses and Elijah. And in the voice from the bright cloud declaring Jesus your beloved Son, you foreshadowed our adoption as your children. Make us heirs with Christ of your glory and bring us to joy his fullness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Congregation may be seated. We'll have the reading of the first lesson. And I believe Bill Hawley's going to read it.
His mom told me.
You're on his
class. We call that the mom told. The first reading for the transfiguration of our Lord is taken from the 24th chapter of Exodus. At Mount Sinai, Moses experienced the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. The glory of the Lord settled on the mountain, and on the seventh day, God called out to Moses. On the mountain, God gave Moses the stone tablets inscribed with the Ten Commandments. Hear now the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again. For Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the cloud, on the top of the mountain, in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let's now read Psalm 2 responsibly. You can find that in your bulletin. Why are the nations in an uproar? Why do the people mutter empty threats?
Why do the kings of the earth rise up in revolt, and the princes plot together against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed?
Let us break their yoke, they said. Let us cast off their bonds from us.
God, whose throne is in heaven, is laughing. The Lord holds them in derision.
Then, in wrath, God speaks to them, and in rage fills them with terror.
As for me, I have anointed my king on Zion, my holy mountain.
Let me announce the decree of the Lord, who said to me, "You are my son. This day have I begotten you."
As for me, I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession.
You shall crush them with an iron rod, and shatter them like a piece of pottery.
And now, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth.
Submit to the Lord with fear, and with trembling bow in worship.
Let the Lord be angry, and you perish in a sudden blaze of wrath. Happy are all who take refuge in God.
The second reading is taken from the first chapter of 2 Peter. At the Transfiguration, God's voice was heard declaring Jesus to be his beloved Son. By the activity of the Holy Spirit, God's voice continues to be heard through the Word of Scripture. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were here with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. Word of God, word of life.
Please remain seated for the Alleluia. Stay seated. Chapter.
And I am the disciple John, who was with Jesus when he was here on earth. And I want to tell you about that special day that I and Peter and James went up the mountain with Jesus. Jesus told the three of us, he said, "I'd like you to come with me, and we're going to go up to the mountain." And so we did. I remember it was a beautiful day. The birds were flying around. There was butterflies. There was an eagle circling in the sky. And it was just beautiful. We went up there. We got almost to the top. And suddenly, there was this white light. And Jesus, his face got really white. And his clothes were bright. And it was so bright, you couldn't look at it. You know, sort of like looking at the beams of a car looking right at you. It was really something. And then we looked. And there wasn't just Jesus alone, but there was Elijah and Moses with him. And we thought, and they acted like it was old homey. I mean, they were just talking and having a good time. And I thought, well, those guys died hundreds of years ago. How could Jesus know them? But then I thought, you know, Jesus said he's the Son of God. And we sort of believed it. But if he's God, then of course he was there then, and he knew him when he saw him at this time. And then there was the light was just so empowered us all, and we didn't know what to do. And this cloud came over us, and a voice spoke from the cloud, and it said,
"This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him."
And we fell down on the ground. We didn't know what to do. You know, the voice was all around us, and we didn't know what to do. And then pretty soon, we looked up, and there was just Jesus. He touched us by the shoulders, and he said, "Come on, guys, we got work to do. Back down." Peter said, "Remember, Peter," he said, "I'm gonna so good we're here. I'll make a booth for you and Moses, Elijah." We wanted to stay there the whole time. I mean, being on the mountain's a really great thing, and we just wanted to stay there. But just know, we got work to do down back on the where everyone is at. And I don't want you to tell anyone about this experience until after I have been risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
And praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Pastor John and John. Many years ago, we took the kids to San Diego, you know, the San Diego Zoo and SeaWorld and all of that. And while we were there, we saw a bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker said, "Welcome to San Diego." But underneath it said, "Now go home." Well, they were making a point that they love to have visitors. But they've got enough residents. They don't need us there. But have you ever thought of that being a theme for our scriptures today? All the way through, we're hearing this mountaintop experience and yet the importance of going back. It's the two-pronged process of being a committed Christian. There is the mountaintop experience where we feel the presence of God. We experience God working in our lives or around us. But then there's also the valley of service. If you notice at the back of the church, we have an exit sign. But if you go right through the last door, it says servant's entrance. It's good to be here. But go and serve the Lord. Charlton Heston was the actor who played Moses in the Ten Commandments, and one of them. And Charlton Heston is quoted as saying that you can't walk down Mount Sinai in bare feet and be the same person you were when you walked up. Once you've walked up, things change. Moses went up on the mountain, and while he was there, something incredible happened to him. And when he came down, he was glowing. He was so glowing that they made him wear a veil. He had been changed. He had talked to God in the burning bush many years before. He had talked to God throughout their time in Egypt and as they wandered through the wilderness to Mount Sinai. But here, there was such a special presence of God that he was literally changed in face. If you read other accounts of this event, God put Moses in the cleft of a rock and placed his hand over him so that he would not be destroyed by the pure light of God. We are called upon to remember what it's like to be on the mountaintop and what it's like to be in service to the world. I actually pity some people who have never had that mountaintop experience. Or maybe even thinking of people who have all these regrets. We took a choir group to Scandinavia, and there were a number of people in the town in Iowa we were in who could easily have afforded to go, but they were afraid. And when we came back and people started telling them about all the things we saw, then the regrets came. I wish I had gone. I wish I had done this. Have you ever had those regrets where, like, I wish I had practiced the piano more? this week, today, I especially had that wish. Or there are other things where we wish we had done something and it was too, I wish we had visited so-and-so, but it was too late, they died. We just heard this week that the wife of my seminary roommate passed away this past week. And we wish we could have been there, could have given him some support. We have all of these regrets, but the important thing is we don't stop with the regrets, that we go on, that God has called us to more than just what we are. Do you realize that every worship service is a mountaintop experience? Or it could be. It should be. Because what's happening in worship? Not only are we praising and thanking God, but where two or more are gathered in his name, he's here. He is here. We don't always see him. We don't always feel him. We don't always experience him. But he's here. He's here in person. Maybe in the person next to you. He's here in the reading of the word and in the preaching of the word and in the sharing of the word in song. He is here so powerfully in the sacrament of Holy Communion. When you hear someone say to you, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, what do you think of? Do you think, just a little bit of grape juice, or a little bit of wine, a little bit of bread, something like that? Or do you realize that Jesus made the promise, this is my body, this is my blood? And if we really take that to heart, we are beginning to feel what it means to be on the mountaintop. I read a story about a mother who wrote a letter to a very famous scientist. And she said, my son thinks that he is Jesus. And he's up on this mountain and he won't come down. Would you please talk to him? And the scientist, by the way, happened to be Albert Einstein. And Einstein, as famous as he was, said, yeah, I'll talk to him. So he went up and talked to him, and pretty soon he and the boy came down. And his mother said, well, how did you get him to do that? And she said, well, it was really simple. I reminded him that Jesus came down from the mountain to gather, to be a fisher of men. And you see, that's us. Sometimes it would be nice to just stay nice and comfortable right where we are. Either in the church, on a mountaintop, or in our home. And not go anywhere, not do anything, just be there with Jesus. But look what happens on the mountain when the disciples go up there. You know, I've often felt sorry for those who saw Moses go up on the mountain but couldn't go up themselves. They just didn't have that experience. Or in this case, Peter, James, and John went up on that mountain. The other disciples didn't. We don't know why. I've been up on one of those, well, both of those mountains. There are two possibilities the tour guides tell you. One of them is on Mount Hermon, the tallest mountain in Israel. And then the other one is Mount Tabor, which they've set up. And there they have a little door. And you can open that door and you can actually see a footprint of Jesus. Well, I'm sure you believe that. But you can believe what you want. The fact is, that's a really tall mountain. When we were there, it was hot. And the thought of climbing to the top of that mountain, and it's not that huge a mountain, it's just tall. You know, on a hot day, that really would have been something. I understand the disciples not wanting to go up there. The way in which they got us up there, believe it or not, they put us in kind of out-of-date, battered-up limousines so they could get 6 to 8 people in there, cramped in there. And then there is a road that is a bunch of hairpin curves. And these guys don't know slow. They put the pedal to the metal, and they take you up there, and you're dizzy by the time you get. At one point, I was sitting in the front seat, and I was looking, and I saw that if the tire went off of that cliff at that point, we'd have fallen at least a million miles. It just seemed like it. But so I understand the disciples, the others, not wanting to go up there. It's hot, it's tiring, and they've been with Jesus before, and why bother? But isn't that the way some people are with worship? We've been there before. We've done that. Been there, done that. Why go more? But every time we go, we too can experience what Peter, James, and John experience. A blazing light that reminds us of who we really are, or whose we really are. Jesus calls us to the mountain in worship, and he sends us forth from the mountain to serve wherever we are. So that's really what Jesus is telling us today. Welcome to the mountain. Now go home and celebrate and serve. That's the good news. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll sing Majesty, and the communion hymn, we changed it. It's actually 492, or 462, I'm sorry.
Kind of changed, but it got changed back. We'll try to announce that later. And Majesty is in your, as an insert in your bulletin.
Being with the Father, through him all things were made,
For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Trusting that God hears us, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. If you have special prayer requests, we'll let you state them in that appropriate place in the prayers.
Holy God, your loving power is at work among us. Rouse and embolden your church, that we too might be transfigured. Set a light in this world for the sake of the gospel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Awesome God, you speak and the earth trembles. You display your majesty in the mountains and your mystery in the clouds. Grant that we discover your magnificence in all of your created world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Ruler of all nations, your reign extends across all human borders. Guide world leaders in justice and righteousness, that they may work for equity for all people and protect the world that you have made. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
And gracious God, you are refuge for all who are neglected and abused. Bring freedom to those who are oppressed. Give comfort to those experiencing illness or pain of any kind, especially those that we name before you both verbally and in our hearts at this time.
Frank, Mary, Gish,
Iris,
Marlon.
I want to thank God for the last 10 days. His mercy was great.
Taylor.
Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Loving God, we trust in your endless mercy and grace, asking that you give us a double measure of wisdom and discernment for our joint call committee. Don Scantling, Barb Millett, Peggy Bjerke, Cheryl Gerard, Kathy Ryman, Bill Hawley, Leslie Pearson, Loretta Funk, Dean Knauer, Scott Madsen, and Walker Silvernagle.
God of Moses, Elijah, you made your dwelling place at the top of a mountain with Jesus and his disciples. Dwell also in this congregation, in our hearts and in our homes, that all who enter this community might be transformed by your dazzling brilliance. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident that you are able to accomplish more than we even dare to ask, we bring these prayers before you, believing in your saving grace, revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share the peace at this time.
Peace be with you. One minute.
George. With the bread of life.
Let us pray. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need, until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise of your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let's pray the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
All prepared, you may be seated.
Thank you.
Skinship 3.
Congregation, please stand. Body of the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious blood, strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, in this meal you give us a foretaste of that day when the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Down to you.